All right, welcome to a new episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. But today on the show, we are, of course, all in lockdown and quarantine, and we got to figure out something to do because there's not going to be that many new movies coming up anytime soon. A lot of movies are getting rescheduled, delayed indefinitely. Some will end up on VOD, and we will try to cover those as they come out. But in the meantime, we are going to have to find ways to evolve as a podcast because we're not always going to be able to cover quote-unquote new movies. So, what are we going to do? Today, we are kicking off a new special mini-series here on Piecing It Together called Missing Pieces. And what Missing Pieces is covering movies that came out. We started the show 3 years ago. So, we're going to start with movies that came out just before we started the show, like 3 years-ish ago, on back to, let's say, 20 years ago. So, modern movies that we can look at as if we already were running Piecing It Together back then, and looking at the movies that inspired them, doing the usual thing. But then at the end, as a little add-on, since these are slightly older movies, we'll also talk about movies that came since then that maybe this movie that we're featuring might have been inspired by. So it's going to be a little twist on the thing, but mainly this is an opportunity to look back at some movies that we might have missed. Well, definitely missed because the show didn't exist yet. We're going to look back at some movies that we never got to cover because we hadn't started piecing it together yet. So it's going to be a fun way to talk about a whole bunch of new movies that we can go back and watch while we're quarantined in our homes. This is so weird. But one other cool little twist on the formula that we're doing within Missing Pieces is that my guests are suggesting the movie. So for the first one to kick this thing off, a very, very apropos movie. This is The End from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. It was suggested by my good friend Adam Wells, and we had a great conversation about it. So it's going to be the first one of this new series, Missing Pieces. Hope you enjoy it because we're going to be doing a lot of these. I already have a whole bunch of people suggesting movies that they want to cover on the show. We got some really interesting choices ranging from not just end of the world movies, but all kinds of movies. It's going to be really, really interesting going back to some modern classics and modern, maybe forgotten movies to go and apply the puzzle pieces, piecing it together formula to. So let's kick this one off. Before we get into the conversation, I do want to remind you to please make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can, of course, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. And join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where I think there's going to be more conversations going on than ever since we're all locked in our houses playing on our phones. So join us. Lots to talk about. Lots of movies. Lots of stuff. Join the group. It's a fun place. Let's get into this conversation. All right, so joining me today, quarantined in his home, is our good buddy Adam Wells. How's it going, Adam?
We're doing good, despite the fact that we are all indoors. It is end of days, or as REM says, it's the end of the world.
It sure is. This is weird. Yeah, I feel pretty good too, actually. I've been locked up. This is day three for us here in Las Vegas, and I've worked out twice a day for the last 3 days. So I'm going to come out of this feeling pretty damn good, I think.
Wow, but you're doing better than me. I've only tried to work out once a day, a few days a week, but twice a day? I don't know what to do with myself. That. Yeah, I'm going to have to start doing that before I go stir crazy because there's only so many movies that I could watch.
It's true. There is. I mean, obviously, we could do a whole hour long conversation about how this is going to change Hollywood and, you know, the release schedules and all this stuff. But today we're here to do the first of a kind of a mini series. Hopefully this doesn't last too long, but it's going to last at least for the next couple of months, I think, where we're not going to have that many new movies to cover on the show. And so we're going to look at some older movies, mainly movies that came out I've been saying to people in the last 3 to 30 years, because we don't want to go too far back, because a lot of the puzzle pieces will be from movies before. And then we don't want to do anything that came out since I started the podcast, because we might have already covered it. So we want to try to do stuff we never would have gotten a chance to cover. So to kick this thing off, I think this is a really fitting pick to start this little series off.
A little apropos, don't you think?
A little apropos for sure. You picked Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg's This Is the End. Why'd you pick this one, Adam Wells?
Well, mainly because it was apropos. Thinking of movies that inspired this quarantined edition of Piecing It Together.
Yes, absolutely. And to be clear, not all of the picks for this little series will be about our current situation, but I think definitely that's going to be a theme running through at least a few of them as we move forward over these next few weeks.
I mean, you got to have some humor with this. Otherwise, you're bound to go crazy.
Yes, I absolutely think that is definitely accurate. So we're going to cover this just like we would any Piecing It Together movie. But then at the end, we're going to transition into, since this is obviously a little bit of an older movie, this one came out in 2013. We are going to transition into talking about a few movies that have come since then that maybe this also itself inspired. So that's going to be a little twist to the formula, kicking this thing off. So I'd say, why don't we jump right into puzzle pieces, though? What do you got for your first puzzle piece for this insane fucking movie?
Well, I'm going to go with the type of genre that this movie is, and this movie is a stoner comedy. So
sure is.
You have to go with probably one of the originals, which is Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke.
Hell yeah.
Just a movie of series of vignettes, you know, of different characters doing things that are somewhat stoner related or party related or boozy related. And you know what? It's Cheech and Chong pretty much inspired all these movies, whether it be How High, Half Baked, This Is the End, Pineapple Express. You know, you got to go with the granddaddy.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's 100%. And like, you get a story. There is a story. There's a through, you know, a three story through the whole thing. And there's a plot. There's feelings and emotions and friendship. And
I mean, there's kind of a plot.
Yeah, there's kind of a plot. But,
but for then those that are wondering, there is ridiculous. More plot in episode one, The Phantom Menace, than there was in This Is the End.
Well, I remember the plot of This Is the End a little more than Phantom Menace, but I don't need you to recap Phantom Menace right now. Although if we get really locked up, if this whole thing goes more than a couple months, maybe we'll get you on to do like an entire Phantom Menace recap. That could be fun.
Oh man, Geek Wars, the lovers versus the haters. Come on, 12 rounds, we could do it.
So I'll go into my first puzzle piece, and that is, obviously sometimes on the show we'll go into something that's not a movie, but maybe a TV show or something, and I'm going to go with Curb Your Enthusiasm, because we have all of these actors playing kind of heightened versions of themselves that are a little bit worse, a little bit more ridiculous, a little more self-involved and pretentious, and they kind of play up some of the characteristics that we've come to know about them as public personas, and I love it. I love some of the jokes come from just really great places. I mean, you know, I think one of the most memorable jokes is James Franco didn't suck any dicks. Now I know y'all are lying, you know, stuff like that. But like there's so much stuff like that that's just playing up the personas that we've come to know of these actors.
That I 100% agree. I mean, nothing is funnier than watching Michael Cera be a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if he really is like that, or he's more kind of calm and quiet, like Arrested Development.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'd imagine he's not that bad, but who knows? Seriously, who knows with these people?
That is true. And since you said that, you know, that these actors are playing on their personas in exaggerated ways, I'm also going to pick another stoner classic, which is one that we had discussed once before, which is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Absolutely.
Definitely towards the end when it gets more meta and you have characters that are just playing exaggerated versions of themselves, whether it be Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, Wes Craven and Shannon Doherty. That's what you have. You have a movie full of cameos where they're just playing exaggerated versions of themselves.
Definitely. Yeah. And also the, like that kind of vignette style, structure of just like, maybe not everything really makes any kind of sense narratively, but it does come together into a whole bunch of funny moments, you know?
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be a lot of them. We're going to probably bring up a lot of those types of movies throughout this episode.
Yeah. Speaking of which, why don't I go with Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny? of course, the Tenacious D has always brought in that heavy metal energy and just all that like kind of heavy metal album cover, visual style and all that kind of stuff. And there's just so much of that, especially once we get out into the actual apocalypse that's going on outside. You get that gigantic demon devil with the big dick and you yep. get all kinds of stuff like that that would feel completely at home in a Tenacious D movie. Lots of that influence in the score as well. A lot of heavy metal mixed with like big operatic classical score kind of moments.
Except for parts of the beginning and the end, because I don't remember Tenacious D asking the Backstreet Boys to sing Backstreet's Back.
Well, that song does fucking rock, so.
Listen, opinions are like assholes and everyone has one. And I'm glad you brought up Tenacious D because that was actually the last one I added to my list last night. So I Sweet. Was very happy that one got mentioned.
Nice.
So for my
so what
next,
do you got next?
Ooh, my next puzzle piece. I think I brought this film up once before again, but I could never hesitate not to bring it up. The Kurt Cameron classic Left Behind.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. Because anytime you're dealing with the Rapture, you have to bring up the best/worst movie about the Rapture, which stars Growing Pains' star Kirk Cameron.
No, I forget. The last time you brought this up, have you actually watched this movie?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Okay. I can only imagine. It must be so bad.
There are some movies that are so bad you can sit through no matter what influence you are or aren't under, and then there are some that are just so painstakingly dull that you just kind of fall asleep through almost every time you watch it.
Yeah
it's like watching Battlefield Earth.
I've only seen that one once.
I mean, I've seen the whole movie once. It just took me, no lie, 15 tries to actually get through it.
That's dedication, folks.
Yeah, not only is that dedication, this was also back in the day when we had physical VHS rentals, and when you didn't bring it back on time, that penalized you an extra day.
Yeah.
I spent more money on Battlefield Earth than three people did in the movie theater just on one rental. Thank you.
Well,
thank you,
Travolta. I think John Travolta. Well, Travolta should be thanking you.
Oh, yes.
You're
welcome, Travolta.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'm going to go with a good movie. How about that for my next piece? Okay. I'm going to go with Ghostbusters.
Excellent.
Because just mixing comedy with just this supernatural aspect and lots of crazy creatures running around and scares and all that stuff mixed into just a straight up fun comedy. And that's one thing revisiting this movie. We've all seen Ghostbusters dozens of times. I think most people have, but this is the end. I had only really seen once, and I remember really liking it, but I had never really revisited it. Rewatching it for this, I thought it was really fucking funny. It was maybe even better than I remembered. A lot of the jokes still landed. There's some, maybe problematic humor throughout a little bit. It's definitely a product of its time. A lot of rape jokes. But, aside from the fact that it probably wouldn't fly nowadays if it was released, there's still so much
I don't know.
Great humor.
It's subtle. Some of it's subtle.
is Jonah Hill getting raped by a big black demon subtle? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
I have no problem with it.
Let me just say I will come down on the side of this movie is just straight up funny. So
listen, I'm the type of person that still thinks that loves every minute of Revenge of the Nerds. So,
oh, me too. Maybe we'll get to it one of these days on this show.
I don't condone that humor anymore, but I don't. No, I'm not going to stop laughing at movies I've always enjoyed.
Yeah, exactly. You can't flip that switch, folks. You just can't.
Nope.
So, what do you got for your next piece?
I'll go back to a good movie and one that I've actually have seen all the way through. Okay. Which is the adaptation of Stephen King's The Mist.
Okay.
Essentially, a group of survivors banding together to somehow survive the unknown of what's outside. Mm-hmm. And it has an ending that you don't expect.
Sure.
But yet one is tragic and one is just drop dead funny.
I'm trying to remember. I haven't seen The Mist since it first came out, that adaptation. Was there a scene where someone had to like go out to like, you know, get something out there? Because I'm just trying to like think of it because the Craig Robinson scene going out outside is so funny in this.
There is somebody who does. There are people who do leave, mm-hmm. and you do. I would say it's a little closer to Danny McBride's character where he's gone, and then then he kind of reappears, not dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say what happened in The Mist, nor am I going to say what happened in for This Is the End, because I don't want to spoil it. And
although there is a meme going around lately that does spoil that moment, but
everybody who's listening to this, just watch it. You have nothing to do for at least another 14 to 15 days. I think you could spare an hour and a half.
That's right. all right. So I'll go. That's a great piece. I'll go with another one, though. It's the movie that I bring up on this show all the time. Everyone always laughs at me when I do, but it's unavoidable. It's Evil Dead 2. this movie being a straight up horror comedy with lots of great gore moments where people just get completely flooded with blood.
Does Scott Spiegel give you kickbacks every time you mention it on this podcast?
I think he should. I think it's about time. I do need.
Hopefully,
sponsors,
there's other people on here who knows who Scott Spiegel is. But
I'm sure. I'm sure with the fan base of this show, there's got to be somebody. But but yeah, this movie does.
Like, oh my god, he said Scott Spiegel.
This movie does continue a great gore horror comedy tradition. I mean, kicking the head around and just all the great blood moments. Paul Rudd stepping on that face and just smashing. There's some really great gore moments in this that are just totally ridiculous.
Absolutely.
So what do you got next?
Okay. Last but not least, this should be an obvious one because it's pretty much the same cast and pretty much make a joke about sequelizing it within the movie. It is Pineapple Express.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if I remember correctly, everybody believed that when this cast was getting together to shoot another movie, everyone assumed it was Pineapple Express 2, but it was not. It was this film.
Yeah. I think that is absolutely accurate. And yeah, I was actually, I won't use this as a piece. I'll just add it on to yours there. I was just going to say, like, Judd Apatow produced movies in general, because they always seem to, you know, it's so much like stoner comedy, but with that whole theme of friendship running through it, you know?
And it's also supposed to be older people instead of just young kids getting stoned and trying to be responsible.
Yeah, they are a little bit too old to be acting this stupid, aren't they?
They're trying to appeal to us. Yeah. Does it work? You tell us.
I think so. I'm trying to think. Do you have a favorite of these movies? Like Pineapple Express or 40-Year-Old Virgin or any of these?
You know what? It's hard to say because I always have a problem with a fair amount of them. Especially with the Apatow movies. I feel like they run about 20 minutes too long.
Oh, there's for usually sure.
some great moments, but if I had to pick one that I thought was my favorite, I'm gonna pick one that everyone has blasted, very few have actually seen, and really should have gotten a cult status by now, which is The Interview.
Hmm. Another movie whose release was disrupted by controversy.
Yes.
Like a lot of stuff that's happening right now, and this summer is going to be all kinds of a disaster.
True. Although, did they ever really solve the controversy with The Interview? Because there was the rumor that it was really an inside job and not North Korea.
I honestly have no idea. I remember there was so much around that. I'd like to think that North Korea has
better things to do with their time than hack Sony and get damaging emails about a movie that barely makes it. Who really has that much time on their hands? That country's just trying to survive.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that. All kinds of weird controversy, like conspiracy theory things come up around this stuff. And I don't know, to bring it into a Seth Rogen movie, that's just, I don't know, it's weird.
Listen, people thought that we were all going to start riots and beat the crap out of each other, from watching the movie Joker. Look what happened. Nothing.
Yeah.
It made money.
Yeah. Nothing except for a bunch of, Twitter confrontations. That's about it.
The only confrontation we could have these days, because we have to stand 6 feet apart.
That's true. It's a good thing that movie didn't come out today. So I'll do one last piece. And this one, actually, also another TV show. Although there was a movie, of course, and that is South Park. There's a lot of... it kind of goes along... That was good. There's a lot of visual aspects taken from it, with all the demon stuff and the hellscape stuff. Kind of very much reminds me of all the Satan scenes in South Park, and it kind of has a lot of the same kind of sense of humor as well. And again, I said earlier when talking about how it's a little bit of a product of its time, and maybe it wouldn't go over 100% well nowadays. I think it's got a lot of that same. Fuck you, we could do anything we want, and anything is fair game for comedy, kind of a point of view that South Park did in the early 2000s.
The one thing I will say about South Park is South Park probably would not apologize for anything they have done, and would still continue to do it just to offend people.
Yeah, that's when hell will freeze over, is when Trey Parker and Matt Stone actually take the time out to go and, apologize for anything. I can't imagine that ever happening.
No, and they should not have to. They've tried to offend everybody, including themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what? Can't be a racist if you offend everybody.
Yes,
you're an equal opportunist.
That is the mantra, I believe. So I will go ahead.
I'm starting it.
I will go ahead and do the finished puzzle, and then, like I said, we'll get into a few things that we think this movie may have itself inspired. So the finished puzzle includes Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny, Left Behind, Ghostbusters, The Mist, Evil Dead 2, Pineapple Express and other Judd Apatow comedies, and South Park. So Adam, do you have some examples of things that you think have come since that maybe may have taken a page from This Is the End?
I would say one movie that was brought up once before and is equally hated, Movie 43. Just another one of those ensemble comedies, that decided to get a bunch of big stars, put them together in a bunch of little short scenes, and let them kind of go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
yeah,
definitely very different types of movies. One has to do with hell. Other one has Hugh Jackman with balls on his chin. so you're really kind of appealing to various different audiences there.
Now, I know you have a very wide-ranging taste of movies. Did you like that movie?
First, I'd like to say that my range in taste is so wide, it's really just bad taste. And no, I did not like that movie. I sat through it
Uh-huh.
And I believe on our little group chat, I'd mentioned something about this movie, and somebody told me that I should see if I could sit through Kuso.
Mm.
I don't remember who suggested that, but if you're listening, no, I could not.
That bad, huh? I mean, I don't even think I could make it through the trailer. So this is such, some of the worst shit, like it,
literally. So
oh man,
I have a high tolerance for certain grotesqueness, but Kuso beat me. Pink Flamingos, I could get through, but
yeah,
Kuso beat me.
Just a bit much. So okay, I've got a couple that I thought of. First one, maybe not totally fair since it is another Seth Rogen series, but the Neighbors movies, I feel like kind of continues the theme of just a kind of 90-minute party with comedy thrown in, you know what I mean, and then some kind of little plot baked in a little bit along the way. But it's just basically people partying, lots of slow motion party scenes, you know, and then building a movie around that.
Those are movies I really wanted to like.
Yeah, me too.
Fraternity and sorority characters were great, were funny, the party stuff was great, but man, was Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne boring.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I mean, that kind of goes to the character a little bit, but it just doesn't make you want to follow along and like stay with them.
No.
You know?
You just want to watch them get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Zac Efron, right?
He's
great. He's great in them. But otherwise, yeah, those movies are pretty forgettable.
He's a funny guy. Even Baywatch, he was funny as the moron character.
Yeah. Absolutely. And oh my God, in The Beach Bum, he is so funny in that. But I want to see more Zac Efron in the future. He's pretty great.
You and a lot of women do.
Yes, that's right. And one other that I thought of was the Netflix movie Always Be My Maybe. The whole scene where Keanu Reeves is basically playing up a heightened version of himself. Just, he would have fit right in at this party in This Is the End. It's kind of doing the exact same kind of thing in that, and was the best part of the movie. So, did you ever watch that?
No, I can't say I have. Although
that good, but his scenes are really funny. So, it's worth it for that, I guess.
No, I think one of the last things I saw with Keanu Reeves was Destination Wedding.
I wanted to watch that, and I still haven't. Maybe now's the time.
It's not good, but it's fun to watch Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder bicker with each other.
Yeah, I think I would enjoy that a lot. I'm putting that on my watch list.
And nothing really happens, but they're just good.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Bitter Before Sunset or whatever. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Sweet. I'm in for that. I'm going to watch it one of these days. So let's wrap this thing up. Do you have any final thoughts about This Is the End?
Any final thoughts with This Is the End? You know what? If you have nothing better to do, why not rent it? It's not great. It's not bad, but it's something fun to watch in these times where I guess we just need a little humor because it's not a lot's going on.
I guess that's a good final thought. I only had one last thing to bring up, and that's that for a comedy, this is a strangely good looking movie. Like, they clearly spent a lot of money on effects and you know, creature stuff and all the apocalyptic stuff and all that.
Yes, the demon dick looked very real.
The demon dick looked really good, and I'm very worried that we're not going to get stuff like this anymore too often with everything going on and with the hit that the Hollywood system is going to take. But I hope that they find a way to squeeze in movies like this every so often, because I mean, you know, the comedy is certainly not a genre that needs, yeah, and it doesn't need a lot of money, but it's nice for something like this to come along, like a high concept comedy thing every so often. It makes for a good change of pace, I think.
you know what? There's always going to be a gross out comedy. There's always going to be a slamming door farce. There's always going to be, controversial and edgy comedy, whether it had been Lenny Bruce, George Carlin. You know what? Every 10 years it evolves, but it never goes away.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
Yes, we won't be getting as many rape jokes, which probably is a good thing, but we're going to get other types of gross out, funny moments. We'll just have less Tucker Maxes of the world.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Adam, thanks. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this.
Pretty sure I have to walk the dog in 10 minutes and then lounge around for the rest of the day.
Well, while you're
we can't do anything.
You know what? While you're lounging around, rather than suggesting something you've seen recently, what's something on your watch list that you're planning on watching while you're quarantined?
Ooh, well, my darling fiance would like to rewatch the Sharknado movies, so I'm going to indulge her with at least two of those.
That is a keeper right there.
Yeah. we would like to watch the Farewell.
Okay. Really great movie.
A movie that I have not seen, and I know if people are listening, they are going to give me a lot of hate for this, but Cabin in the Woods.
You've never seen Cabin in the Woods?
I've actually not seen Cabin in the Woods. I know it's shocking. Yeah.
That could be an interesting one for us to revisit if we're still in quarantine. Maybe have you back for that.
Oh, absolutely. Love to do
it. Yeah. Knowing you and your all the stuff you're into, I think you're going to get a kick out of it.
Absolutely. Cats is coming on demand, and I never got to see it in theaters.
I just want to circle back real quick to Sharknado. So just watching one of them isn't enough. You guys are going to watch the Sharknado movies?
That is the plan. And again, I do love my fiance, and I don't hate the Sharknado movies, but there's only so many I could probably watch. I'm thinking two.
Okay. Well, if you want to mix it up, I would suggest if you're going to have a Sharknado marathon, maybe mix in Bus Party to Hell, the movie that I did a bunch of music for that Tara Reid is in. It is a fun, along those lines kind of movie, and you'll get to hear some of my music.
So. Absolutely. I think we could put – I have nothing against Tara Reid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she sorely missed doing what she does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy your time, watch a lot of movies, and as always, Adam, thank you so much for doing this.
No problem, and for those of you who need some more hate out there, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is available on demand. Go watch it. Go give Star Wars money. Disney's got to eat too.
That's a good plug right there.
Hey, I'm Josh Bell.
I'm Jason Harris. Hey, Josh, we're friends in real life, but we're also co-hosts on this new podcast called
Awesome Movie Year, where we take a look back at an awesome year for movies and do a deep dive looking at movies, including the Best Picture winner, the biggest movie at the box office, future cult classics, and more.
Including the biggest flop. And this season, we're doing 1994. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. That could be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. We're all over the web as well. Got Awesome Movie Year on all the socials and awesomemovieyear.com. So please like us, subscribe, and if you do like us, give us a 5-star rating because we love you.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about This is the End. If you're at home listening and this is your first time listening to Piecing It Together, or if you're a longtime listener and this is obviously a whole new format. It's not really a whole new format. We're just twisting things up a little bit by looking at slightly older movies here on this Missing Pieces miniseries. Get in touch. We'd love to know how you like the show, how you like this whole idea of doing these slightly older movies. Do you want us to continue doing them? get in touch. You can, of course, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. You can just tweet at us at PiecingPod, or you can email me directly, bydavidrosen@gmail.com. That's my email address. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know what you're thinking of the show. You can also get in touch if you'd like to be on the show. We're hoping to record lots of new episodes while we're stuck in the house being quarantined. So always looking for new guests to be on here. So as always, you know, make sure you're subscribed wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. And we're going to keep doing this show for you no matter what happens. And I think that about does it for today. So we will be back with some more regular new movie episodes. We got a couple that we're planning on recording in the next few days. And we're going to be doing a lot more of these missing pieces episodes. So I do want to close this thing out with a piece of music, as we always do. And it's a special one because I, as you know, if you've been listening to the last few episodes, have a new album. And the new album just came out. I'm recording this on Friday the 20th, which is the release date of the new album. This is, of course, going up on Monday. But just came out on Friday. It's available for sale on iTunes and Amazon and CD Baby, and I should be getting it up on Bandcamp over the weekend. It's also available, of course, for free to stream on Spotify and Apple Music and all those kind of streaming sources. I hope you go out and check it out and listen to it, whether you're buying it or just streaming it. But I'm going to continue to play tracks from it here on the show. And I am going to start off with What should I play? Well, I played Ferris Wheel last week, of course, so not really starting off. But I'm going to continue, I guess, spotlighting this album with... Okay, this is a track. It was originally in the film Daisy, which is a short horror film that I scored for this Freer Mind Films production company, director Chris Johnson. Daisy is the only horror movie that we've done together, and I figure that's a good fit for This Is the End. So this was actually the closing track that played over the end credits. It is kind of the culmination of the feeling of the score up until this point. It's mostly just straight up horror. But then once the end credits kick in, you know, boom, it all kind of comes together into more of like a song style track with like a nice like spooky beat behind it and everything. So this is the title track, Daisy, and it is on the new album Beater Original Motion Picture Soundtrack. So that is available wherever you listen to music. I hope you go check it out. This track is Daisy. We'll be right back.
and all points west.